segments, but all. From page one to the very end. When I think of God breathed, inspiration of God, the outpouring of God to mankind, that word there, profitable, means to convince men of truth. That's what that word means. So that tells me this, that the whole of the scripture is meant to point our minds, to show us the way of God, the way of Christ. We think of doctrine, think of reproof, that of convicting, the correction of restoration. We think of tutoring, the instructor, instruction of righteousness. It is to show us how to walk. Revelation 1 in verse 3 says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein." So in order to keep and in order to do, you must first know what is in his pages. So blessed is he that readeth. Last Sunday at home, I would have preached from Titus chapter 2. You know, not always when you read the scriptures does it seem like the most spontaneous thing that you have read that day. You know, it may seem like it's a repeating. It may seem dull. It may seem repetitious. Especially when you're in the Old Testament and some of those. But there is one thing about it. That when you and I read the scriptures, it may not seem like fireworks just sparkling all over that. It illuminates greatly. But what it does do, that when you and I read the scriptures, it fills the heart. So that wherever I am, if my being is filled, that I know the truth of his word, know the scripture, then when I am tested, when I have the opportunity to give praise, those truths, then as they are, my mind is filled with them, then there can be an overflowing. There can be a pouring forth. Mark 13 and verse 31 says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So this morning, earth is not going to be here forever. It will come to an end. But the word of God will abide into eternity. Will never pass away. That is hard to comprehend. But you and I need to remember this morning that the Word of God is the Word of God. It is God breathed. It is the very nature of God given to man. So that will live on. I think I have 8 or 9 here of things that the Word of God is like this morning. First one that I have, the Word of God is like, it's a symbol of, it is like a fire. Taken from Jeremiah 23, and the first part of that verse in 29 says, "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord. It is refining. Heat is that which, if you want to purify, heat does that. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13 says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. My work and your work. My life and your life. We cannot go through life thinking that it makes no difference. Here it says that every man's work shall be made manifest. So what I when I take from this, life, time and truth are two great revealers this morning. And that I believe that fire is, when it's talking about refining here, God has his ways of making manifest my intent of life. Psalm 12 and verse 6 says, the words of the Lord are pure, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. So thinking of pure, that is undefiled, without blemish. And it says it is as silver tried in a furnace. That is, heat given to silver will take away the dross. It will take away the impurities, and the pure will be there. It says purified seven times. What that tells me is that the work of God within my heart is not perfected in one time. And I believe the words of God are pure. And that refining work is ever ongoing. Seven is the number of completion, perfection. Hebrews 12 and verse 29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. God would desire to purify us this morning, to refine us into his image. The second thing that I have this morning, what the word of God is like, it is like a hammer. And that is the second part of that verse in Jeremiah 23 and verse 29, the last part of the verse. It says, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. I don't know if any of you have ever had the privilege of smashing your finger with a hammer. But that is one thing that will get your attention real quick. It often happens in a time least expected. A hammer, thinking of crushing, thinking of... So a hammer this morning, you can drive a nail in. That is one act of a hammer. Also a hammer, you can hit a rock and it shatters it, it crushes it. A hammer, different things, but a hammer brings force at a certain spot. That's what it does. And the Word of God does the same. It is distinct in what it is doing. I would have read the scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16 already, but it says there that all scripture, and it is for reproof and for correction. That is what I would think of as a hammer and as of a very distinct, it is a crushing force. Pain is involved. Pain is involved with both fire, and pain is involved with a hammer. Now, when I was pretty young, I was probably in first or second grade of school. I had a bicycle, a little green bicycle, had a banana seat on it, you know, one of them little long seats. And I bent my foot pedal on that little bicycle. Dad was a bricklayer, and so he wasn't home, you know, and in my little boy ways of trying to fix that thing, size that thing up, and I went to the garage, and I got that little butane torch, and I fired that thing up, and I made that little foot pedal nice and hot, made it red, and I was going to straighten it up. But in the foolishness of my heart, I grabbed it with my hand, my right hand, grabbed that thing, and I was going to move that. That was probably the most pain that I'd ever endured up until that point in my life. And I can still remember that to this day of how that felt. I had blisters on all four fingers of my thumb and right across there. No lasting effects, nothing that bad. But that's what fire does. And I believe that one of the reasons that fire is such a thing that will get your attention and it causes such pain is because of the pains of hell, fire. I'm just simple enough to believe that. That it is something that will get your attention as nothing else. Last week we had a little family gathering, had a little grandson and had a birthday. And you know, the wee little grandson, you know, they was out gathering little twigs, you know, and just as slick as a whistle, but he brought a little twig about that long. And, you know, I seen his grin, and he perched that thing right on the fire. But he wasn't like the grown-ups that knew better. He just went ahead and dropped that thing all the way down into the fire. Well, he fussed and cried the rest of the night. Well, the little laddie had two blisters on the end of his finger. That's what happened. Got too close to the fire. That is what many times... The Word of God is supposed to do that. It's supposed to grab our attention. But in that pain, it brings results. The third one, the point that I have this morning, is it is as a mirror. James 1 and verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. There are two things that you can do when you look in a mirror. You can look in a mirror, you can see yourself. That's what we all do. But what happens from that point on, we have a choice to make. Generally, you look in a mirror, see if your hair needs combed, or if your face is washed, or, you know, one thing we can do is we can look at ourselves, size it up, and walk right out the bathroom door, and we're done with looking at the mirror. Or you can look at the mirror, see that your hair is not combed, and you can take a comb, and you can comb it, and while you're combing, you can look in the mirror. You can see where the imperfection and which, you know, which one's not standing just right, and you can do something about it because you can see it. The Word of God does that this morning. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God it says that it is inspired by God. It is God-breathed. And when anything that is God-breathed will show us clarity of how and what our life is to look like. You and I have that choice this morning, that while we're looking at the Word of God right here, it will tell us how to live life. And I have the power of choice that I can lay it down. I can walk that way. Let it there behind, and I don't need to do a thing about it. Or I can look at the Word of God. I can follow its precepts. I can do what it says so that my life is a reflection of Jesus Christ. I have that power this morning. The Word of God does that to you and I this morning. We can walk and live by what it shows us. Second, the fourth one on that I have this morning, the Word of God, it is able to cleanse. In Ephesians 5 and verse 26, it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. Jesus' death this morning was a perfect sacrifice. There was no blemish. There was no imperfection at any of any way. Calvary this morning is for whosoever will. 1 John 1 verse 19 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is what Christ Jesus does for the sinner. He does it for those that walk with him. And we need to have that ever continuing presence of Jesus Christ to keep us pure. It is an ongoing work of sanctification. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How does a young man know how to walk? How does a young man clean his way? By taking heed according to thy word. One of the things that blesses my heart on the side of the distinctness of Jesus Christ, the Word, the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God and the Word, it gives clarity. It shows us how to walk, of what we are to do. Any other time when the spirit of the devil, of the powers of darkness, there is always uncertainty, there is cloud, there is a vagueness. But the Word of God this morning, when it speaks to us, it brings clarity. And that blesses me. It's a cleaning. It's a purging. That's what the Word of God does for my heart this morning. It does that for your heart. The next one I have is the Word of God is a lamp. Psalm 119 and verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path alway. So the Word of God this morning gives light to my feet. It gives light to how I am to walk in the path. We don't need to walk in darkness this morning. Psalm 19 and verse 8 says, the last part of that verse says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Now, the older you get, the less your eyesight goes more dim. But the Word of God this morning, regardless of age, we can have illumination of the eye and of the heart. We don't need to stumble around. We don't need to walk and stub our toe, so to speak. Psalm 119 and verse 30 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light, It giveth understanding to the simple. Light is that which drives darkness away. When there is light, there is no darkness. Because the light drives it away. There are some things in life that are beautiful in their simplicity. That even the simple can understand. And I'm one of those. One of those. But I'm glad that the Word gives understanding to the simple. The next one that the Word of God is like and does, I have that it is brings refreshment. Isaiah 55. Verse 10 and 11. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. The Word of God this morning, I believe that if you're a child of God, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There are times when you feel like you're in a parched and dry land. You feel like you've been in a desert. And you take the Word of God, you may not necessarily know exactly what you want to read, but you just go to the Word of God and you want to read from its pages. And the Lord takes you to a spot in the Bible and you begin to read. And of how it brings life. It brings refreshment. It's like drinking a glass of cold water. It is like whatever you enjoy the most. And it is that vivifying, it gives you life. Makes you want to live. Scripture says here that the Word of God will not return void unto him. You and I this morning may think that we can take our own course. We can plow the path. We can clear the brush. And we can stomp through the bush. And you can. You can do that. You can walk your life as you deem as you want to do. There is one thing that you and I need to remember is this. Many times we say that the Word of God will not return unto him void. That's what the Scripture says here. But I believe that many times we tend to think, and I strongly believe this, that the forces of God, that evil cannot stop it. That is true. We can see that. Many, many places. That is true. But the commandments of God and the judgments of God are true also. And so what I'm trying to say this morning is this. To live a holy life. To walk as God would have us. There is no force that can stop us. But if you want to walk in the way of darkness, then the Word of God is not going to return void on that too. It is truth all the way through. We know the course that will help, that will take us. The Word of God this morning is current for all times, for all issues, for everything that comes into life. I am often reminded, Lloyd Troyer was my mentor when I was first ordained. It was him and I in the ministry together, and there's a lot of things that he taught me. One of the things that he would have taught me was, he said, whenever we face a situation that we don't know what to do, he said, well, Marvin, the best thing to do is we find Scripture the closest to what the situation is, and you just follow that. That has been a source of guidance for me to simplify life, that there is clarity in life. I would have read a little bit ago where the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light. I believe that's what it's talking about, that we can find direction. But the Word of God gives that to us. Whether it be in sorrow or in joy. Next one I have, the Word of God is like a sword. Hebrews 4 and verse 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Here it says that the Word is quick. It says that the Word is powerful and it is sharp. Now, I don't know what you think about when you think of those three words, but that tells me that it brings a decision real quick. Now, I'm told that back in the day, the way that they knew that a sword was sharp, that you would put a sheepskin on water. And you know, water's stable, but water moves. You would take a sword, and if you could cut that sheepskin with your sword, then you knew it was sharp. Here it says that the Word of God is sharper than that. Let's not fight the Word this morning. Let's let the Word of God do its work, so that we can be vessels for God, that we can be instruments of God, that we can let it do its purifying work. It says that the Word also is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. In Jeremiah it says that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, try the reins. I believe this morning that many times the Lord knows our hearts better than we know our heart. Closing, I would like to read from Psalm 19. Things that the Word of God is. And in verse 7 of Psalm 19 it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So the Word of God this morning is perfect. It is sure. It is right. It is pure. It is clean and it endures forever. And they are true and righteous altogether. I would have read also earlier that all Scripture none excluded. When you think of that here this morning, there is extreme blessing. There is extreme reward if we place our lives in a position where we, to the best of our ability, live under the shadow of the Word of God. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Gold, one of the more valuable thing, minerals that is had. The Word of God is more precious than that. The Word of God is sweeter than honey. It meets our every need. It satisfies. And it brings clarity, brings peace, brings contentment to our heart. May the Lord bless. Thank you for your attention.